Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte, and in the studio today, we have a couple of very lovely ladies. One has been here before, the other one is very new to it, but both, I'm sure, are going to be very, very happy to be here. Anyway,
so happy. We're the happiest.
We've got Leslie Pariseau, second time on the show.
Yeah.
Or is this third?
This is the second.
Second, yeah. And Talia Bioki. I got
perfect.
That's good.
So many vowels.
So Leslie is the deputy editor, and Talia is the editor-in-chief of new magazine Punch, which launched today. And Yeah, psyched. So congratulations.
I know you guys have
been working on this for a little while, and it's really awesome. It's in conjunction with 10 Speed, which put out a good buddy of ours, Brad Thomas Parsons, The Bitters book.
Woohoo! Bitters!
Yeah.
So bitter.
Stay bitter. So that's awesome. Is this something that you've been trying to do for a while? I mean, like...
Yes.
I know you've been writing for different people and
9 months.
Geez.
But it's funny because, in a sense, this all started... I don't know, like 3 years ago in France, which seems like an unlikely
This all started 3 years ago.
This all started in France. Leslie and I met on a trip up to Bordeaux, and that was about 3 years ago. And we had talked, we had totally hit it off, and we talked about doing some sort of collaboration between a website that was wine, spirits, and cocktails, because we hadn't really seen anything out there that really felt like, you know, something that we were totally attracted to that was capturing kind of what was going on. And we realized when we got back that we didn't have any money. So that didn't happen.
Little money.
But we have a URL. We bought a URL that was called antidote.com, and we even like met with web designers, and we both sort of got distracted but kept in touch. And so in a sense, it's the genesis of Punch started much before 9 months ago, and you know, we have now an incredible collaborator in 10 Speed, and we aren't trying to do this with like $50. So,
Talia is also writing a book on sherry right now, which is where the relationship with 10 Speed started as well.
I told her to say that.
Shameless self promo. And so, Talia is a sherry buff and was approached by 10 Speed to write a book. And throughout that process, we became close with the publisher, Aaron, who runs 10 Speed. And he was like, hey, I think it might be a really cool idea to start a magazine, a website on cocktails and spirits. And Talia's like, well, why are you talking to me? Because if you don't know, Talia Bioki is fantastic writing. She comes from the wine world and she was the first ever editor for Eater as the cocktail spirits and wine editor, and also wrote for... Am I going to get this right? Wine and Spirits?
Yeah.
No.
No, that's correct.
All right. And so she convinced him that we should also be writing about wine, and that there was this great conversation happening, an overlap between wine and spirits and cocktails that hadn't really been focused upon yet, which is why I came on, because I come from the cocktail background.
I basically said that, you know, if I was going to do this, that I, you know, couldn't do it without Leslie, and so that sort of, you know, it all started about 9 months ago, and here we are, and it's finally a thing. A pizza is arriving.
Awesome.
Pause.
Yeah, so that's great. And so far, I know that there are, I mean, really, with like the food and beverage magazines, like you said, you know, no one's really focusing on all three. Imbibe kind of does it. You know, they're more focused on spirits and cocktails, but they'll throw a little wine and beer in there, and even like other beverages like tea and coffee from time to time.
Imbibe does a great job. We're sort of from a different angle. We're going for narrative journalism. So we're going through the lens of like the stories that are happening around wine, and that's wine and spirits and cocktails rather. And that's everything from, you know, this great piece on bartenders cast in plastic as Legos that Andrew Borer made and Brad Thomas Parsons wrote about, to a woman who grew up in Kentucky in a dry county. And, I mean, Imbibe does a beautiful job of focusing on spirits and cocktails in the sense of place. And we're sort of going for the angle that this is about people, and it's about a sense of what's happening in time now and what's to come.
And, you know, I also Imbibe is a print magazine. And so we're on the web, and we wanted to really do something, you know, that used the web. So have exactly. these big, giant, beautiful photos and do photo essays and really make it be, you know, visual. And, you know, for us, I mean, it's really just about how drinks fit into people's lives in different ways. And it's just such an exciting time to be drinking in this country. Absolutely. That it makes our job really easy, you know. So it's exciting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Visually, I think it's a very stunning magazine, especially the...
especially the Legos.
Especially the Lego minifigure of myself. totally nailed it.
It's completely... Like, it's an accurate depiction of Damon Bolte. Totally
awesome. Exactly. Beard, cowboy hat.
How do I get that? Like, the physical...
Well, you're going to have to...
Is it going to come from, like, a fundraising, auction or something?
Yeah, you're going to have to first collect all of the collections where your pieces
that's
are
going
found
on, yeah, it's going up on auction at Christie's, so it's gonna, I don't know, you're gonna have to bid on that.
It's gonna be a heavy hitter.
It's gonna be
there.
Big.
So I know that you were talking about the actual, like, stories behind the people. That's really great. I really appreciate that, because, like, that's a big part of what I do here. You know, we can talk about, you know, brand promotion and, like, magazine promotion all day, but it's like we could just be like go read Punch.
Drinking is about people.
It's about people. Yeah.
It is.
It's about having you and on places the show and talking about this. Yeah.
And history and tradition. And I think, again, like, going back to how wine and spirits and cocktails are all sort of having this moment together, is that, like, they share this sort of respect for tradition and this, like, really geeky kind of obsession with history. And in a way, the cocktail revival is sort of rediscovering this, like, lost American history. And you're seeing that happen in wine as well in these, like, really interesting ways. So, you know, it's just, for us, like, the big thing was trying to essentially shine a light on these places where spirits, cocktails, and wine are entwined.
Yeah, absolutely. So okay, run us through a typical day in the offices of Punch.
Oh, dear. There's a lot of pajamas.
There's a lot of pajamas. It's
There's a lot of pajama wearing.
This is the first time we both put pants on in a week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, there's the 3 p.m. Miller High Life, which is a ritual at Punch HQ.
Yeah, we currently have 40s of Miller High Life in our refrigerator.
Nice. We have a story on the site right now, a terrific essay by Besh Rodel at LA Weekly, who's the restaurant critic over there, about malt liquor and about the 40 ounce. And so we do have Old E in the fridge as well. We just like to mention that.
Awesome.
we haven't quite gone there yet, but, you know, you never know.
aside from the pajama pants wearing, we have a full bar within. Mm-hmm. We actually work out of Talia's apartment, which is a beautiful spot overlooking McCarran Park in Williamsburg. So most days we're testing cocktails, whether that's actually for the site or just for our own personal pleasure.
Yeah.
but we've probably got over, like, 300 bottles, I would say, in your apartment by now.
Yeah, no, I mean, my actual, like, clothes are secondary to the booze at this point. There's really not space for anything, but it's
clothing
worth it.
Clothing optional.
Yeah, clothing optional.
Booze is totally mandatory. Not to get too serious right now, but how do I get a job with you guys?
Yeah. We've actually got our first other employee with us right now.
Eating
She's hanging out eating
here.
Pizza.
Echo.
The pizza tester.
Yeah. It's her first day with us.
Yeah.
Awesome. Welcome, Echo.
Okay.
Yeah. So we need a male intern. You're hired.
We do. All right. Bring the cowboy hat and you're in.
I have pajama pants. Yeah. I can do this.
Yeah. If you have SpongeBob pants, you're hired.
I can find them. So that's great. So you're working out of the apartment, you're testing cocktails, mm-hmm. coming up with basically, like, storyboarding ideas for the magazine. And I heard mention of an article about distillery cats.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's cats. A good one.
So Brad, actually, I don't think that he expected this to go this way, but he's become the guy who just, like, writes about weird stuff for Bunch. He's the Lego guy. He's the guy, the cats guy. So he wrote a story basically about the significance of distillery cats and their role, both historically and in contemporary distillery life. And it's going to include, we hope, a really fantastic slideshow of cats. So
definitely. And I think there is one included from your last guest, the Kings County Distillery cat.
Those are really cool cats.
They're cats, plural.
Yeah, they're two cats, and they are very hip Brooklyn cats. So we're really trying to talk about like the terroir of the cat and like the differences between like a cat in Brooklyn versus a Scotland cat.
Sure.
I think these are important questions that not a lot of journalists are asking these days.
The tabby versus really the calico.
Hard hitting stuff.
So going back to the magazine, as far as like the contributors that are involved with it,
yeah.
You're pulling from some really awesome people. Like we mentioned Brad Thomas Parsons, mm-hmm. who's a great buddy of mine. I love that guy so much. He's been on a couple of times. Comes to my bar all the time. And he's the one that he showed me the picture of the Legos. And I was like, this is one of the coolest things. Yeah. Who are some of the other people who are contributing besides yourselves, of course?
So we've got a really talented group of photographers. So Pete and Monk, they're a photography duo out of L.A., and they also have a studio here in New York. They did the tequila piece for us, this beautiful photo essay from a distillery in Jalisco called El Pendio. We have a bunch of amazing writers from not just drinks writers. We've got Jordan McKay. We've got Wyatt Peabody from the L.A. Times, Brad, of course. But we've also got people from sort of outside of the drinks world because we wanted it to be a place where you weren't just seeing content written by drinks writers for other drinks writers.
Sure.
We've got, you know, Davey Rothbart, who he has Found Magazine, and he's also written a terrific collection of essays called My Heart is an Idiot. So we've got him. We've got a folklorist that we found through Southern Foodways.
Laura Smith,
who's fantastic. Besha Rodell from LA Weekly, rather, who writes primarily about food, but is just like a terrific writer. So we really wanted to provide like a bunch of different access points. So if you were somebody who is like a total geek and, you know, knows a lot about cocktails or knows a lot about wine, you could find something to read. But also if you're just kind of like casually, you're a frequenter of bars, and you're casually interested, that there's something there for you to read.
Yeah. I think there's so many great opportunities for that. I mean, especially like as a bartender and as like a teller of tales, you know, as it were. And just like in general, like what the bar is mm-hmm. itself, it's not always about the drinks, you know.
No.
It's kind of it's an accessory to an experience, I guess, to say, you know. And I especially when you talk to someone like Dave Wondrich or you know, Dale DeGroff or any of the like the big names in the cocktail scenes, like you could be sitting next to them at a bar and not know like anything about the cocktail scene, and just having that conversation, having a wonderful conversation with them at the bar, it's a very inspiring conversation. And then all of a sudden it's like, so what do you do for a living? It's like, I'm a pretty famous author about cocktails.
In fact, This is a teaser for something that everyone should tune into Punch for on Friday. But we had a really incredible crew of guys in my backyard doing a full-out film shoot yesterday. We had Dave Wondrich, we had Dale DeGroff, Alan Katz of New York Distilling Company, and Toby Ciccini, who is a writer for the New York Times, but also just opened his own bar on Atlantic Avenue.
The Long Island Bar.
It's not out in public yet, but you should definitely go harass him there. And we had, like, it was pretty incredible. Like, I've been in cocktails probably for four years now, but to have all of these guys in one place who have, like, such a sense of, like, what the beginning of the scene was like. There aren't many people who hold that. And it's still a young scene, but these are the guys who were there from the beginning. And, like, having them all sit around your dining room table, like, shooting the shit is pretty cool. They're all badasses. But you would never know. This is the cool thing, is that you would never know if you were sitting next to them at a bar. They're just inconspicuous guys who, like, are kind of geeky about drinks.
Yeah. I think that's sort of the premise, is, like, you know, the American tavern was, like, the birthplace of the revolution. And I think it's more than just a place to get drunk. You know, which it's obviously that's part of it. But also, you know, these are places where really interesting conversations happen and ideas are born. So I think that's also a big part of sort of what guides what we're doing, you know?
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll continue talking with Leslie and Talia from Punch Magazine. Back in a few.
What's in the bag? Do you want to taste the finest beer and spirits from over 125 breweries and 30 distilleries? The Craft Experience, the most exclusive craft and spirit tasting event in New York, hosted by great brewers, is available to the public for the first time ever. Join your fellow beer and spirit enthusiasts on Wednesday, November 13th in Manhattan to mingle with the superstars of the craft beverage world. Tickets are available now at www.thecraftexp.com.
You are listening to What's in the Bag by the Raw Chains here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
All right, we are back from a pizza break. You're listening to The Speakeasy, and I've got Leslie and Talia from Punch Magazine in the studio today. And we were just talking about the inspiration from working in the spirits industry and writing industry and putting together a magazine, which is not something that a lot of people talk about doing stuff like that, but you actually did it. And it's a great magazine. And I'm really, really excited for you guys. And thanks. I'm really, really stoked to be your second intern and wear pajama pants all day, drink cocktails.
We're honored.
So going back to what we were just talking about, you were talking about the birthplace of the American Revolution and the tavern and the conversations that happen. One of the things that we've talked about kind of frequently on the show is, not all the time, but it definitely comes up, is the idea of not only being a good bartender, but being a good customer. And I kind of feel like that's a big part of, knowing how to be a customer. A big part of knowing how to be a good customer is actually you're in that tavern, you're in a bar. You know what? You got to talk to people.
Yeah,
it's true.
You could sit around in your apartment in your pajamas drinking cocktails all day, but you're at a bar for a reason.
A bar is one big social experiment. Yeah.
And to put that in a magazine form, it's really great. And so you're coming up with all these really great ideas for these articles that are built around the cocktails and the wine and beer experience. And I'm really psyched about it. Going back to it, I can't say how awesome that Lego piece was. not just mine, but like it nailed it with everyone.
Yeah.
Ivy Mix and totally. Like Wondrich and Graf with the martini glass. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think the whole point of that was that, these people are such characters, like everyone in this industry, these are like these really like goofballs, these like total goons that are really interesting people. And I think the Legos thing sort of nailed that aspect of these people. And Andrew, it's really Andrew Bohr, and of course Brad, that really Brad's tone in that piece is so perfect. It's so deadpan. And it's so funny as a result, but I think that it's weird to say that like Legos like nailed the essence of these people, but these like weird little plastic figures.
Yeah. But if you think about it, like there's a lot of crossover. Like Legos are geeky. I mean, Andrew's sort of revealing this thing. It's like this.
He probably like played Zelda.
Andrew's gonna like be waiting outside of Roberta's when we're done here.
Kill us.
I think it nails the essence of like how passionate people are about this like odd little industry, and I think. Andrew, he has this like funny obsession that he's super excited about, and he let it cross over into the world of bartending. And I think like everybody can recognize passion when they see it, and even if it comes out of Legos, like that is some dedication.
Yeah. It also reminded me of something that Phil Ward said on the show, about making cocktails and about how like classics you can interchange parts and ingredients. He said it's like playing. Like play with like Mr. Potato Head, and it kind of made me think of that for a second.
What's so funny is that all of the bartenders who come down after Phil Ward, like everybody who he's been a mentor to or worked with him, they all use that same phrase.
Yeah. And we you actually don't know who, like where did that actually it's, like, who I did think it
it's,
originate with?
I think it's Phil Ward because he's sort of the one who, and he can call and correct us if that's not he might want to take credit for it anyways. But we have one of the cool things about Punch that we're really excited about is we have a giant recipe archive that's growing. And in the process of building it, we called all of these bartenders that we love from all of the bars that we love and collected some of the staples. Like, we all know what the classics are by now, and we included all of those, but we also want to pay tribute to the bartenders who are coming up right now and what they consider their own classics to be, the things that they'll make at every bar they ever work at. And we had the opportunity to talk to I want to say, like, Joaquin Simo says it from Pouring Ribbons. Mm-hmm. I want to say Brad Farron says it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys who work with him, but everybody literally uses the phrase Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
Should we explain what we mean by that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like,
it's basically that you have this potato head, right? Like, the potato head, you could, like, put an ear in someone's eye, and it was, you know. So, basically, what it is that you have, like, the potato sort of the base, and you can take all these things.
This is great.
Is this, am I?
No, okay. So, for instance, like, you have a Negroni. Like, let's say you have a Negroni. And for those of you who don't know what a Negroni is, you should. But it's equal parts gin.
You can find the recipe on Punch Magazine's website.
.com. Yeah. It's equal parts gin, sweet vermouth, and Campari. It's the best drink that ever existed. But you can switch that up. Instead of having a base of gin, you can switch out rum, and you would have Joaquin Simo's, essentially, his Kingston Negroni. Mm-hmm. You could do the same thing with a daiquiri. You know, you've got rum, lime juice, and simple syrup, and you could switch out rum for, you know, there's a great drink at the Beagle called, I'm going to get this wrong, like the PX daiquiri. Maybe it's the sherry daiquiri.
No, I think it's like the PX.
You switch out the rum for sherry, and you've got a totally different cocktail. Yeah.
So basically using the idea of with a Negroni, with a base spirit, a bitter, and like a vermouth. You can swap that out, like changing out the
ear.
The gin for whiskey, and you've got a Boulevardier, for instance, you know, exactly. Those kinds of things. But but even on the more modern tip, it's, you know, you can take any, like, if you switch out a sour for a sour, like an eye for an eye, or whatever you want to say, or same a sweetener thing. For a sweetener, a base for a base, a bitter for a bitter, it's always
you're plugging
it's always
in different parts for the same recipe. Yeah.
So, but how does the potato come into play? I really need to know. See,
that's the glass part.
Phil, that, could you call in?
The glass.
The potato's the glass.
Could we get you to call in right now?
Yeah. Can we phone a friend?
But one of the cool things that we're trying to do at Punch as well is we've got stories, but we've also got this really cool archive of recipes that hasn't really necessarily had a presence on the web anywhere else. And we're trying to make it really easy for people who may not necessarily know, like, how to just, like, whip up a drink from scratch. We're trying to help people figure out, like, you know, the most basic things that you need to, like, build a bar, the most basic things that you need to, like, create these classic cocktails. And so we're constantly sort of, like, building and refining this thing. Mm-hmm. So if you need to know how to make a Kingston Negroni by Joaquin Simo,
go to Punch Drink.
Awesome. So that being said, well, Phil's definitely one of those characters that they can talk. I've been on several fishing trips with him, and we never talk about cocktails. It's, you know.
That's what's really cool about some of these guys is, like, you look at them behind a bar, and you're like, you must be, like, the geekiest guy in the world. Like, all you talk about is cocktails. In actuality, I mean, they're just really awesome dudes and chicks who are really good at making drinks.
Yeah. I think that the cool thing that a lot of people don't realize, especially, like, the wine world has had it harder because, you know, a lot of people see people in wine as being sort of stuffy and pretentious, right. and it's really not like that. So I think, you know, it's this weird subculture, and I think it's the same thing with the cocktail world. They're these two totally geeky subcultures. A lot of us were, like, you know, maybe there's some, like, Dungeons and Dragons people. There's just, like, there's, like, the
there
goth kids,
are.
You know, but there is, it's this sort of this really geeky thing, and I think it's really in wine. A lot of people are starting to discover it in that way. Instead of it being this sort of, I can't be a part of that, you know, what we really want to do is make sure that people feel like they can be a part of it.
Yeah.
And it is this, that's where I think there's another parallel between the cocktail and wine world is this, they're just like dorks that are just like dorking out.
It's like Alan Katz taking people to the opera, you know, that kind
of
thing.
Yes, exactly. Right.
So what's cool about this too, like you said before, and I say it, I could probably go back in the archives of the show and count hundreds of times saying this, but I feel like this is, and we all do feel this way, that this is just like the most exciting time for the industry that we're in, and
absolutely.
The possibilities are endless. And that being said, you know, thinking back like 10 years ago, there's very little chance that this kind of magazine would fly.
No,
you know?
No way. Yeah.
Especially because back then, I mean, we were all still playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I think, I mean, we're at a period in time where it's becoming more accessible. And I think that has a lot to do with food coming before it. And, sure. And one of the reasons that punch is an actuality now is because there was such a rich conversation around food. And that was expressed in the world by all of these beautiful magazines that are coming out now. You've got Lucky Peach, you've got Diner Journal. I mean, Bon Appetit is revamped. There's been this great conversation, and I think in that same way, there hasn't necessarily been the same lens into drinks. And I think because food came before it, like, drinks are to follow, and that's everything from wine to cocktails. So we're definitely at a point in time where, like, that we're really lucky, because I don't think we could have done this without food coming before us.
I hope that one day we walk into a place like the Meat Hook and we see all of these beautiful food journals, or even we walk into something like Spoonbill and Sugartown on Bedford, and we see all these beautiful food journals. I hope that someday I walk in there 5 years from now and we have beautiful drinks journals as well. You know, I think Definitely. It's about to happen. I think it's just at the beginning now. And beverage has always trailed food a little bit. You know, we've always been like maybe 5 years behind. But there is, in so many ways, sort of the back to the land movement applied to drinks is really what's happening in a lot of different ways. So I hope this is the beginning of a whole new future of drinks journalism.
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, you know, we just have so much more access, you know, especially like you're saying, there are so many more food journals now, and now we've got a lot more drinks accessibility, even with like websites like liqueurious.com.
Definitely.
You know, which it's like, pretty much like a database for everything that's happening right then, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just a link to every other or most other cocktail, wine, mm-hmm. spirits,
yeah.
or related articles in other magazines and websites. But what's really cool is that we're actually at a time where we have the accessibility for this information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even I can't believe that people listen to this radio show, actually, but they do, apparently.
Beard comes through.
They can't see the beard. This is so sad. They can't see our pizza. They can't see the beard.
They can see it in Lego form on the website.
They can.
That's true. Don't worry.
Are you posting that, Dietrich?
Yeah, well, I'm in too. Of course I am, man.
Sweet. Well, okay, so the website is?
Punchdrink.com.
Punchdrink.com. I like that.
Thanks.
If that fit on your knuckles, I would totally get it tattooed.
Ooh, now I got some ideas.
We're going to consider it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to do that.
All right. After the show.
Get, like, a gold grill that just says, like, punch drink.
Nice.
That'll be for Leslie only, though.
I'm on it.
She's a good candidate for that, for a gold grill.
So for a lot of the people, they can check it out there. You're planning on doing print?
We're really lucky because we are a collaboration with 10Speed. We have the infrastructure of a publishing company. And it's one of the things that we have this really cool little mini magazine that came alongside our launch. And it's just sort of a preview of what's to come. But I think, you know, we would love to explore the idea of a biannual or a quarterly eventually. Yeah. Right now we're focused on just maintaining a giant
the
website.
Internet. Yeah, yeah.
But we definitely look forward to creating some really beautiful print alongside of it.
Something we can get like a cocktail ring on, you know.
Yeah. I love that. Definitely. I love flipping through.
So
We're fans of biting off more than we can chew. So there's like a lot of stuff probably in the future for sure.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on the launch.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see what's in store for the future.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for the speakeasy today. Check in next week and we will continue talking our nerdy cocktail town hall tavern style talking that we do here. All right. Cheers. So the devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end. Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.